Welcome to the Family Alpha Podcast, a place where men, families, and the truth have a voice. The information shared on this podcast is meant to be applied. Now, here's your host, Zach Small, founder of thefamilyalpha.com and co-founder of thefraternityofexcellence.com. Let's get to work.
Welcome back to another episode on the Family Alpha Podcast. That is right. TFA is back in full swing. Leadership in Action has been put to rest. All future creativity, all content, all things Zachary Small and Family Alpha will be occurring here. With that, in the past episodes, I'm pretty excited to kick this podcast off. In recent episodes, you'll have heard me talking about 21Con. You know, I'm going to be speaking this fall. Well, I have the man who created the convention I'm speaking at right before me, Anthony Johnson. President Dream, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here, man. Thanks for having me on again.
Yes, sir. So Anthony's a repeat guest. And to go through his resume, he is the founder of 21 Studios, the founder of the 21 Convention, the founder of the 22 Convention, the co-founder of Redman Group, and the founder of 21 University. We were talking earlier, the resume is ridiculous. And to put the exclamation point, he is the president of the Manosphere. Anthony, again, welcome to the show. I'm looking forward to just talking about what's been going on, you know, the conventions that are coming up. And importantly, how you've been dealing. I mean, you run one of the largest events that are bringing men together to talk about families, to talk about making women great again, all of these things. And now we had this giant wrench called Corona thrown in the gears. So how has it been for you, you know, dealing with the recent pandemic and travel and all the bullshit that's been going on?
Yeah. See, I mean, this whole year's been just fucking nuts. I mean, for everyone, the conference industry just got wiped out. I mean, straight up. 21 Convention, 21 Summit is in Florida, in Orlando anyway, one of the only games in town. The hotels are desperate. They have a few little things that they're still doing, but like, man, I was talking to somebody last night, actually. They went to a Republican, some sort of Republican Party of Florida meetup they had at our hotel, actually, that we used last year in Orlando. And they were like the first conference that had been there since March. Okay. So the employees were like so ecstatic to have customers, basically. And, you know, they were just tipping like crazy, like gift cards and shit. Because they feel bad for hotels, man, and the employees there. It sucks. A lot of them in furlough. They haven't been working, you know. Some of them getting unemployment, but then that's going away now and shit. So, yeah, it's been a wild year, man. Hotels, hotel industry, planes, although fuck the airplane industries. I don't care about them. I think some of those should have gone bankrupt. That's all bullshit. But hotels, that sucks, especially independent ones. Conference industries got wiped out. I kind of called that, too. Like, when I paused and rescheduled the spring events we had, Patriarch and 22Con, there were some other events that our old speakers were throwing, health events, Bulletproof and then Paleo. And they had rescheduled them to like July. And I was like, man, like, this is a fucking bad idea. I knew that was going to get fucked. And sure as fuck, one of them, they're not even doing it this year. They just, the one in Texas, they just moved it to 2021. The other one, I haven't paid, I haven't tracked like what's going on with it, but probably the same thing. Because I was supposed to be in LA, California. I mean, that's a whole fucking joke shit show out there with that stuff. For me, though, it's been, you know, pretty awesome year in some ways. It's not perfect. You know, I mean, having to reschedule the events, I never had to do that before. It was the first time in, you know, 13 and a half years at that point, or almost 14, that we had to not do an event that was announced and public and all that. We had tickets to and stuff. That was a big deal. And that was new ground that was previously uncharted for me. I did have to cancel the, as of that point, unannounced Poland event we were going to do. We're planning for Krakow, Poland, however you say it. I actually spent a week there last year touring the city after the Poland event, 21 convention we had there in the capital, Warsaw. I took a train with my film guy down to Krakow for like a week. I met with hotel managers, actually started picking venues, starting relationships, shaking hands, kind of the beginning, basically the deal process for getting a venue, which is important. And then learning the city, where we want to do it, why we would do it there, you know, what dates and stuff. And I still want to do that, but that's got to get bumped down to 2021. So there's been a couple major wrenches thrown at me this year as an entrepreneur and as a man, in addition to everything else that we're going through as Americans and, you know, adults. Little kids right now, I'm sure, don't know what the fuck's going on, little five-year-olds and stuff. But for everybody else, it's like watching, you know, civil liberties get destroyed, governors somewhere sometimes going nuts and mayors and shit, these mask mandates and lockdowns and all this bullshit. Businesses are fucking, you know, losing themselves for after being in business for decades, entrepreneurs. And people had careers getting destroyed and shit. So yeah, it's been a super fucked year. But I've been on a winning streak in some other ways. We do have, you know, the first ever 21 Summit kind of mega event that I've been thinking about for a couple of years. I didn't know exactly how it would come together, but Corona-chan, basically, the pandemic, has basically forced me, my hand, to be creative and put something new together that's even better. And so now, like in the fall, you were mentioning, we're doing the events, and we're doing three of them at the same time. One for men, one for fathers, one for women. The first one every time, we do one for women. So that's the first time we're putting three multiple conferences together. And that's going to be just like an amazing, it's going to be complicated, you know, challenge, but I'm really looking forward to it. I know that I can do it. I know my team can do it. I know the speakers can do it. And it's a new way to like level up and do something amazing. And we still need to finish it and do it. But my thinking is that that's going to be the new model going forward. As I'll pick, you know, a European event, if I want to do it in the summertime, we'll pick somewhere in Europe, probably Poland or something like that. And then in the fall, we'll do 21 Summit. And it'll be a combination event from these different things. I think it's a good way to bring people together, bring different factions and demographics together, and speakers, and then as an entrepreneur to save costs massively. Rather than doing multiple events where I got to fly speakers in and out twice, get hotels in and out twice for, you know, 20-something speakers plus staff, we can now combine that and reduce costs massively for the event. Some of our biggest costs are flights, hotels, and film teams. And the more you can simplify that and condense it into a streamlined format like 21 Summit, you know, 21 Convention, Patriarchy Event, and then the Women's Convention, that saves massive cost. So yeah, it's just been super wild year, man, like for everybody. But as an entrepreneur in the conference industry, it's been like, yeah, big trip and a lot of fun. Good. I like the challenge. You know, you grow from that. And then personally, I've just been stocking up on guns and ammo, man. I mean, seriously, I'm worried about, like you and many, I think you had an AR-15 yourself you built, put together. I was considering that too. I ended up going with my Russian baby, I call it. It's an AK pistol, AK-47 essentially. Very similar to a short barrel AK-47. And I recently got another little 22. I call it my squirrel gun. 10-22 Ruger, little 16-inch barrel. So I'm just learning how to shoot new guns, new ammunition, stocking up where I can. That's tough in itself. Ammo's like sold out fucking everywhere. But I have been able to find a couple stockholds of it. And it's learning a lot, man. Training more consistently too with firearms. I hope nothing happens, but like I posted on Twitter probably about a month ago, I'm like, you know, how realistic is it that America doesn't have another civil war ever? Like it's been 155 years, something like that, since the last one. That's pretty good that we made it this long peacefully, but it's like, is that going to go on forever? I'm skeptical. Like, I don't even think that's a realistic expectation. Same thing, I was even posting the other night, I was just kind of had a drink and I was like, just kind of thinking about the state of the century, right? And I'm like, are we really going to go this whole century without another world war? Like a conventional, you know, war like that, but we had two of them last century. I'm like, maybe, but probably not. We're 20 years into the century now. And I don't know if we'll make it 80 without another one. So like, what does that mean in terms of like, how am I going to prepare and, you know, survive all that stuff? So yeah, it's been fucking wild year, man. I think a real reality check for a lot of Americans. Like the gun sales going through the roof and ammo selling out is a really good symptom metric of that. Which I'm very much in favor of. I'm glad everybody's getting armed up, loaded up, ready to roll. Armed society is a polite society. Big believer in that.
Absolutely. The opportunities that present themselves in chaos, that's an interesting little phenomenon there. Because it's like somebody went over, they slapped all the, you know, the pieces off the board. And you're like, well, that game's over, but now I get to put the pieces where I want them. And, you know, maybe having it slapped off the board allowed you to step back and look, well, maybe I was playing it wrong or playing it differently, and I wasn't, you know, planning for something coming down the line. And I think that's exactly what you did when it came to putting the events together. You're like, all right, I've been doing this way and it's been working, so why throw a wrench in it? Well, somebody else threw the wrench in it, so now you're like, all right, let's step back and look at it and maybe reassemble it. And for anybody looking to attend any of the events or future events, the links below will be sending you to this fall, and then obviously I'll be updating for all future events for as long as, you know, we're on this show and riding this thing. Now with that, it's interesting to me when you mention it as, well, as an entrepreneur, I've got to do this. Your whole life, you've been an entrepreneur. And I don't think you could have planned for anything like a global pandemic. You know, I don't think you could have seen that coming down the line. And a lot of people, they're seeing now as the perfect opportunity to start investing in themselves. Because again, this chaos, they're like, well, I just realized my job just laid me off. And they gave me 3 days warning. And one of the men at FOE, he found out like on Monday, on Wednesday, he was done. Had he not, you know, we were already planning. He's like already had his side income. He had already planned for this because we'd been talking about it. You know, be prepared. You know, don't rely on one source of income. These things. Well, it happened. It came to fruition. And I think a lot of other people are seeing the same. So would you say that you know, that mindset as an entrepreneur from years beyond now of learning how to just adapt and pivot and move, you know, that's helped you with dealing with this, which is, it's a giant clusterfuck, but it seems like you're navigating it well.
Yeah. Totally. I have a couple thoughts on this. I think I am. I appreciate you, observing that, saying that. Some other speakers have commented to me behind the scenes that too, that they suspected I would navigate this pretty well, and they were happy to see it. Based on the prior experiences with me and seeing what I go through, the different challenges with the company and stuff, last year being a good example of that. But you did mention, for example, a minute or two ago about this year throwing a wrench into things, which it was, and then having to adapt to that and change that as an entrepreneur. One of the things, I'm actually really glad the pandemic happened in some ways. People on the plandemic, and make sure you hear that L.
I stick to it as well. I make that's a hard L right there.
Plandemic. Not that I'm not into the documentary thing. I haven't even watched it really that has a title. I'm just saying, like, generally, I like to make fun of it. But this year we did plan, there was four events technically planned with three dates, because two of them in the spring were combined. Patriarch in 22, then 21 in Poland in the summer, and then the fall event again, the flagship event in October. And honestly, man, I'm kind of glad that things, my hand was forced. There's zero way to do the event as scheduled. Government lockdowns, everything was shut down in April and May and all that shit. It was totally fucked. Even in Florida, which I think has been really good about handling and responding to this stuff. So basically, though, what I've realized is that I had too many events planned and I was going to stress myself out doing these events. And I was going to do them and get them done, but it was going to be, the cost was too high, is what I realized on a personal level. The stress and anxiety of doing the events and the burden and the hours and the intensity that would be required to do those events that I initially planned earlier this year, it was too much. So I'm really glad that it forced me to step back and reevaluate and be creative out of absolute necessity. There was no way to do the events. The same thing with the European event in Poland. There's so many fucking, to plan for an event, you need a lot of lead up time, like runway. You need weeks and months of planning with speakers and attendees and getting time off, make sure you get time off work unless you're fired, in which case you have all the time in the world, right? But there's just no way that the event in Poland was going to happen. Same thing in the spring. So again, though, it's been really, it's been a way to step back, like you said, I think, and then just kind of calm down and relax, like Pat Stebbins talks about on Twitter recently. I saw that. And there's different ways to do that in life. You can do that as a man. You could do that, you know, as an individual. You can do that as a father, maybe go on a vacation and chill out, you know, whatever it is. But also as an entrepreneur, you got to step back sometimes and really take a big picture view of what you're doing. They say, I think one of the ways other entrepreneurs I've seen say this is sometimes you have to work on the business rather than in the business. And when you work on it, that means stepping back, big picture, high altitude view of what you're doing, bird's eye view. And yeah, too many events. It's super stressful, man. The events, no matter how good you get at them, no matter how much you love them and enjoy them like I do. I love the challenge, man. I work 20 hours a day, 21 hours a day at the events. It's crazy. You know, 4, 5, 6 days in a row like that, just like a war zone. I'm ready to fucking do battle, man. I've done events on 0 hours of sleep. I've gone into 20. Yeah. I mean, usually I'll used to get like an hour or two if it's like super crazy. And that's not the goal. Like, I want to get 4, 5, 6 hours of sleep if I can. But one time in 2011, we had the convention in London for the first time. And I actually got done prepping for the event at like 5 a.m. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to shower up and go to the event. And so I did the whole first day of the convention, emceeing it, leading it, all that stuff, even speaking on 0 hours of sleep. And then I didn't get to sleep again until like midnight. So it's like, you know, running on however many hours of sleep that was. So it's been really good to be able to step back and reevaluate and change things up. And I do like the model now of doing next year, even an event in Poland in the summer. And then this fall event, we do the three. In the spring, I do nothing. Because I want that break time to focus on the video production, focus on building up the video side of the business, publishing the speeches to help the speakers expose you guys to the internet, go viral and stuff. So it breaks things up. And Corona, you know, Corona-chan, God bless her, has forced my hand to do that this year. And then I think it's a pretty good model to just repeat anyway. And I would have, you know, not seen that maybe for a long time otherwise. Might have taken me another year or two of getting burned out from doing too many events. So in a way, it's been very helpful, very therapeutic as an entrepreneur. The other part of your question, you're asking me about basically, you know, being an entrepreneur prepped me for this, I think is kind of what the basis of it was. And I would say absolutely. I thought about that immediately. And I've thought for years that being an entrepreneur online has really put me ahead of the curve in some things. Even as a kid, you know, in my teens, learning how to use a computer, learning how to do you know, video editing for school and shit like that, and PowerPoints. I mean, that's been my life now in many ways. I did have, you know, in high school and like my first year of college, I even sold TVs. And because of that, at Circuit City, Sears, and then H.H. Gregg, so TV stores, selling TVs and shit. And because of that, I actually learned a lot about video resolutions and frame rates and shit like that. That's actually really important for me now, basically as a producer producing these events. And it's kind of funny how that worked out, but it really was helpful. Even playing video games back in the day and learning about resolutions and frame rates and graphics cards and stuff, that's all come into play in how to choose video equipment, video cameras, laptops, PCs and stuff. Not even PCs, Macs, we have sometimes now.
It's crazy to think of how those old skills came into the present day. No point doing that where you're like, oh, that's going to help me with this. But you retain it and you're like, oh shit, actually I need a camera that can handle this because I know this is what I'm going to need or what people are going to want in their systems.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, constantly throughout the year and then especially the events, I'm not even the main video guy. I hire directors and stuff and, you know, camera guys, audio guys, photographers, but I have a basic enough, not even basic, but intermediate enough understanding to know what to ask for. I know what cables I need. I know what I can buy to help them. I know what to plug and play here and there on the fly to help them and stuff. And even knowing what to ask for as an entrepreneur and bidding and contracts and all these things, it's really beautiful how it's come together. But also, I've been through a lot of shit as an entrepreneur. Because as an entrepreneur, and the longer you go and the more you do it, the more this kind of escalates, you're at the top of the hierarchy of responsibility. And eventually, I think luck works in kind of both directions, so to speak, over time, as you survive as an entrepreneur. So good things happen you didn't see coming. They were very unexpected. And bad things happen that you do not expect either. Shit hits the fan. That's happened to me more times than I can count in 21 Convention and 21 Studios and stuff. Shit hits the fan all the time. Not all the time, but you know, sometimes there's big events, especially when you're doing it for 14 fucking years, you know, a decade and a half almost. So, I mean, really serious shit that the average person like working at Best Buy or, you know, rent a car or some shit doesn't go through. They think they have a stressful time. I don't mean to mitigate too much or trivialize what they do, but it's like, dude, you're an entrepreneur and your whole life's work's on the line that you've been working on for 10, 11, 12 years. And it's a hair's breadth from dying, like going away forever. That's almost like losing a child. Not quite. I mean, a human being is even higher value than that, but you know, I'm not a father, but goddamn. I mean, my business is my baby. I've worked on it so much and I've defended it so much and nurtured it so much. To lose it at any point for any stupid reason would suck. And sometimes you got to fight tooth and nail to the death for it. And I've had to do that several times in my business. And so when the pandemic hit, it's a big event, but I've already been through super turbulent shit with a lot of money moving around, relationships, catastrophes, this and that, travel. Also, I went through a nasty divorce a couple of years ago. And not everyone does that, you know? Sometimes they just work kind of the mediocre jobs, doing mediocre shit, rather than living on their edge and on their purpose like I do. I've been doing my whole life. I don't know how else to live, you know?
It's interesting because you're kind of on the other side of this than I am. So I left my comfortable, secure job, you know, a government position so I could have had forever in June of 2019. And then within my first year, Corona hit. I'm like, yep. My first year, like fully, like full on, you know, my brand, me, TFA, you know, going out, making this thing work with the family on my back. And this hit. And I was like, oh, okay.
Get ready for the new normal.
Yeah, let's do it. You know, like, let's go. Yep. And I was fine. And Jackie initially, so she had just become a real estate agent. So we didn't have two incomes. You know, she's doing great now, or she was doing great before all this hit. So that was awesome. Yeah. And then this hit. So it shut her back down because she can't close. You know, people can't see houses. So it's back on me. And it's one of those, I love this. Like I couldn't like doing what I'm doing anymore. And there is no safety net. If I fail, everything fails. Like that's it. So I just can't fail. And kind of having that, it pushes me to perform. And sometimes I think if I had the secure job, I wouldn't be pushing because I knew there was a safety net. So if I fall, I still live. It's okay. I'm going to be fine. You know, not
the buck stops somewhere else, not with you when you're working.
Yeah. And it forces you like if feast or famine, you eat what you kill. And if you don't kill it, you don't eat. And there's no way my family's going to go hungry. So I'm out there hunting, you know, whether it's for sales, whether it's growing, you know, not giving in to certain things.
Yep.
And it's, I can see that because you've been through like 9 different wars in your damn business. And I'm like, this is my first major one.
I've been basically homeless at some points. Years ago. There was one month I remember where I calculated out what I made because we were doing the bookkeeping for the company and the taxes. And there was a month, a long time ago now, but it was the worst ever. I made about 40 cents an hour for a whole month. I worked like, you know, a couple hundred hours. It was crazy. I mean, this is how, and people bitch about minimum wage and living wage. It's like, motherfucker, like I made like 40 cents an hour and I still, I found a way to survive. Not even like I had savings or anything to back up on, you know, just scrambling, selling shit, whatever I had to do. Dude, I've sold my car twice over for the convention. I sold my childhood boat I had growing up, I've sold like guns and shit and gold, like anything I fucking had to keep the company alive. These are ancient history now for the company, but in the early years, this is what it took sometimes. You needed money for the company. I'm like, yep, there goes the car. I sold my car one time and I had I got an electric bike instead for like a couple of years. It was actually made by Ford, interesting enough. Think bike, they called it, or some shit. It was actually made by Ford. It's like the one bicycle they've ever made that had a motor on it and shit. But I was in college and I'm like, yeah, who gives a fuck if I don't have a car? And in Florida, this is pretty weird. Like, I mean, so I say that, but like in Florida, it's such a massive state. To not have a car is a huge deal. So it was kind of, you know, but I made it work. I still bang chicks and shit. I even sold my bed one time in college. You know, I was banging chicks on the floor for a while. They come into my room. They'd be like, "Where's?" Because it was like a nice house. We had
Project Orlando. Here's the blanket. Get on.
No, yeah. I was like, get on the floor. Like, who cares? I'm like, okay. I mean, when you're 19 or 20, like, you know, it's whatever. But
these are the things people, they look back on. Either they won't acknowledge. They'll be like, oh, you've always been successful. Or they'll romanticize it. Oh, you know, it might have been like, no, it's not. Like, that might have been hard. There was like serious like shit. Like, hey, I have to find a way. This isn't fun, sunshine and rainbows. This is like work. But people who haven't had it, they'll never give you the credit. And nor do you want it. You know, you're not sitting here looking for the pat in the back. But the fact of the matter is, you know, people are, they're not aware unless they've lived it, how all in you really have to be to make something work.
Yep. Balls deep, man, all the way. And this is why I think people romanticize entrepreneurship today, especially on like Instagram. And there's entrepreneurs, they're not even entrepreneurs, there's frauds, hucksters. They prey on these people. These people work in these kind of like, you know, mediocre jobs, not doing shit with their life. They prey on them on Instagram and they have this like lavish kind of fake entrepreneur beach lifestyle. And the average person really believes all that. And being an entrepreneur is tough as nails, man. It really is. I'm sure there's harder things in the world, but it's easily one of the hardest things there is long-term to do. And especially when it's something you care about. These serial entrepreneurs that start companies and build them up and then sell them, I don't like that. I think it's like super gay. I just hate it. It's like having a child and like, you know, selling it in adoption or something. I just hate it. It's disgusting. Some people are going to do it, you know, it is what it is, but I think it's like retarded. But it's super tough, man. It's Elon Musk said once, maybe about 2 years ago or something like that. I don't know. And he said, entrepreneurship is like eating glass. And I remember reading that. And I was like, yep. It's like chewing on, sometimes it's like chewing on fucking glass and swallowing it. And it sucks and it cuts you up and you're fucked up and you could be crying or whatever, or, you know, starving, but you make it work. You go all in and you care about it. And you know, not every business would be like that, but the best ones are. You know, Steve Jobs is like that. I think Donald Trump's been like that. A lot of the best guys, you know, in the world that are famous now, they've been through that hell. And yeah, it's not fun, man. It is fun. I mean, depends how your value system works. Like I've arranged mine in a way, like we're kind of talking about. Like for me, the hardship and the challenge is part of the fun. You can't do that all day, every day. That's just nuts. But these spikes in intensity, like I saw Pat Stedman tweeting about the other night, it's a very masculine endeavor. I think that's why most entrepreneurs are men, and especially the ones that succeed. It's a very masculine thing. It takes a lot of rigid, logical problem solving to do. You're tackling problems, man. You're putting out fires. You know, shit happens over time. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, but you got to get your values right and align for that. And if you don't, I mean, these people that think it's like, they're like, oh, I want to start a business. It's like, man, maybe you don't. Like, if you knew, if you really fucking care about it. You'll
find out really quick if you really want to start that business.
Yeah, yep.
So shifting a little bit, actually bringing it back to, you know, your decision on video content and choosing the technology and whatnot. You know, you and I had a healthy disagreement one time on what the main focus was on your business. And I didn't really put two and two together until I had to step back. So I was talking about, you know, the main thing is getting the men together and sitting down and having the meals. And you said that's a huge element to this and being able to sit down and break bonds. But I hadn't considered, and this is where you're not conflicting, but your opposing idea or they presented was, you know, but how many millions are able to see these videos in high def and all this content, how we can mix this together and bring these different guys together. And I was like, holy shit. Like, it's amazing how you've married those two things. You're giving a position where, hey, if you'd like to, you know, for these 5 days, twice a year, you can come together and you can meet and sit down and talk to the guys that you follow on YouTube or you follow, you know, their blogs. You can sit and meet them and have meals. I mean, you put on these great lavish, you know, like the feasts and everybody comes together. Yeah. It's a great time. You know, I've loved every single one and the guys love it too. But also, and this is where 21 University comes in, I believe, you know, you and your YouTube, which all that is, I don't even know if I could see in the entire archives. It's so freaking deep. Like you would lose yourself for years, but you bring that out and that is free to the world. And they get to see these inner questions. Sometimes you do the behind the scenes questions. So have you found that, or not have you found, do you believe that at some point, you know, that's going to become the Netflix for men? Because I'm looking at 21U as literally the one of the greatest resources that's on the internet. And I still, after the millions of views it's had, it's barely scratched the surface of the men that need to hear the message.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, that's a really, initially in 2015, when we started it in 21 University, that was one of the things it was called. And I think eventually we'll see that, that is, you know, at this point, one of the business strategies, one of the business goals is to do that. And we are now expanding 21 University. You're going to soon see it on iPhone and Android apps. And then after that, you're going to see it later this year. It is coming. I keep saying this, but there's just other shit going on I'm doing. But it's also then going to be after the iPhone and Android apps. It's going to be on, and those will work on tablets too, like Android and iPhone stuff. Then you're going to see it on Roku. You're going to see it on Apple TV. You're going to see it on Roku TV. You're going to see it on Xbox in early like 2021. So we're getting really rolling the apps out. And yeah, totally. I mean, I don't know if it'll ever be quite as mainstream, even in the wildest expectations, as like Netflix or entertainment-based things.
Yeah.
But I think it has the potential to be massive, to be the number one video. It already is, but it needs to be a lot bigger. The number one video educational resource for men in the world, and even for fathers and for women who want to focus on, you know, these things directly related to being a man, being a father, being a woman, being the best version of each one of those that you can be. So yeah, I think we can do that. That's the goal. I want to make 21 Studios on 21 University using that as a tool. I want to make it into a company that does not only millions of dollars per year, but hundreds of millions of dollars per year in revenue and education and video subscriptions and all these things. I think it's very possible. I think it's needed. And I think that's, it's not only needed, but that has to happen for feminism to be abolished and to die, for fathers to be rejuvenated and reinvigorated in America and valued and respected. For women to act like women, for men to act like men, there has to be major educational change, cultural change. And video is, I think, the best way to do that. It's extremely powerful. This video we're making right now is going to be watched by thousands and thousands of people because it's being recorded. That can be played infinitely around the world to the extent that it's not shadow banned, censored, or burned, basically. And then, you know, to the extent that the fans care about it and share it, which is going to, you know, varies per video. It could be millions. It could be, you know, 20,000. Who knows? But it's super powerful. So video is, I think, very underestimated as a value proposition.
I think that's the point that you really drove home to me as well. And that's something I hadn't considered until that conversation. I was like, oh, all right. Like I understood better what it was you were saying, because prior to that, I mean, I was just like, yeah, fist bumps. But
well, it's also like things a hierarchy that this seed.
Go ahead.
It's like a war. I mean, I look at it, there's a hierarchy to how the events work. And sometimes I need to keep that more in mind, but even the speakers do too. The attendees, I don't really expect quite as much, but they can learn about it as well. It's fine. But I don't really focus on the attendees. Like I know some of them and I'm close with them, especially the guys who keep coming back and stuff, obviously. But for the most part, I shake their hands. I'll meet them. I'll get a first impression. I want to make eye contact with them and get to know them a little bit, but they're not my main priority. They can't be. My main priority is the event and the speakers. And my goal is, it's like kind of like a, like in the military, there's like a hierarchy. Like I'm the guy leading all this thing and my lieutenants and stuff under me are the speakers who then engage with the men, you know, directly, you know, like the soldiers, essentially. It's, I don't know how much of an analogy that works, but
no, it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. So you guys are more
engaged. The guy driving the ship can't be in the bowels of the ship talking to the guys. Like that, somebody has to drive the ship.
Yeah, but you guys love it. And that's where your guys' focus is. You're focused directly on the attendees, which is where you should be. You shouldn't have to worry about the event and the filming and the publication and all that. A little bit, you should be aware of censorship issues and, you know, things like that are even bigger than the manosphere, obviously, right? But as far as, you know, the mechanics of the logistics of how things work and the venues, that's why it's beautiful and that's why it works. Our events are so good because I take care of all this like very complicated, complex shit. It's hard. That I'm really good at because of my history and the work that I've done there, right? That what my focus has been. but that frees you up to focus on the attendees and the speeches and the content that you give. And then, so it's a division of labor essentially through a hierarchy. Like I'm working on, I'm focused on you guys. How do I help Hunter Drew reach more men?
Hey, it's not Hunter Drew anymore, man. It's Zach.
Oh, sorry, Zach Small. It's like, you're always going to be Hunter, mate.
Change an identity. It'll be the nickname.
Yeah. Yeah. But the other guys too, Ken Curry, Sean Smith, Socrates, all these guys, Elliot Hulse, you know, all these guys, right? It's how do I help them who then they help men? So there's, and that's why I think a lot of guys don't even know me half the time. They know 21 Studios and 21 Convention. And I'm like this Wizard of Oz that I just come out of the woodwork sometimes and piss people off. And they're like, fuck this guy, blah, blah, blah. It's like, who do you think makes this whole thing work, dude? And it's me, you know? But there's a layer of companies that do that. And then speaker teams, like you and all the guys. And then through that, you guys reach, you know, thousands and millions of men, which is really important to me. It's just not a direct connection. So that's what we were talking about, I think you were talking about a while ago. But it's awesome. It needs to happen. And I'm the best at it. You know, someone called me the Oprah Winfrey, like the Manisker or something a while ago. Get the 20, the dream bump.
I dig it. So, and it's funny, you know, we were watching something on Netflix. I think it was stand-up comedy and it was just like streaming. And I was like, this is absolute garbage. I was like, there needs to be like a 21 con and stream through speeches that'll actually make you a better human being. Yeah. And that segues actually really well into something else I wanted to talk to you about, which is since I was it 2017 or 2018 I joined? But since I joined this,
17.
So 2017, you know, it's been for men. And then it was for men and fathers. So we did the patriarch edition. I was like, yeah. And just now you said, you know, now it's, you're helping men, you're helping men with families, and now you're helping women. It takes cojones to go out and say, oh, you know what? I'm not just talking to guys anymore. I'm also doing the 21 convention. Oh, and it's filled with male speakers. Oh, and it's called Make Women Great Again.
I mean the 22 convention. Yeah.
Yes, 22 convention. Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
So coming to that point and deciding, you know, I think it was easier to decide on the family, the patriarch one, because that just made sense. It aligned very well, you know, but 22 con.
There's some controversy though. A lot of the Manosphere is not down with that, you know?
I think I'm coming from the family alpha. To me, it just made perfect sense.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know, the fathers don't even have their own distinct tribe too much in the Manosphere. I think eventually there might be one. And I think we're seeing the beginning stages of that. But you have the MGTOW community, you got the Red Pill community, you got the men's rights community, you got the pickup artist community still to a degree. But the fathers are an underrepresented demographic in the Manosphere, the same way they're ignored even more harshly in the wider culture. Fathers don't even exist in all this stuff, right? So yeah, there was some pushback. A lot of guys, you know, were not, in the end, there was some serious fallout right after that event, obviously, too. And there was related to being, you know, some guys, a speaker there was very, you know, no need to name names, Voldemort, basically. Are very actually anti-fatherhood. They just fake and bring a fake affinity to fatherhood to like real guys in to get them to buy books and shit. It's really fucked up. But yeah, there's fatherhood needs to be taken a lot more seriously in the Manosphere and in wider culture. And to do that, you know, it was a thing. You know, I'm glad we did it. It wasn't as controversial as the women doing that because you know fathers are still men, obviously. 100% of fathers are men. It's amazing we need to say that. But there was still some, I mean, the same way back in the day when I took the focus of 21 convention, more explicitly to a comprehensive focus to bring in health and fitness and, self-defense and this stuff back in 2010 and 2011.
And that was coming from pickup, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Mostly 90% pickup. There's a little bit of health and fitness, but it was very, very minor. And I was changing that. I was like, it's no longer a minor subject that we're going to have one speech on. It's going to be like a couple. It's going to be, you know, comprehensive and more of wider panoramic focus, I called it at the time. And that pissed a lot of guys off. A lot of guys, they saw it as a vessel for what they cared about, not what I as a leader was like, hey, I think actually we need to change course here, steer the ship to an even, you know, better direction. Same thing with bringing fatherhood, men. The Red Pill community, I think, is very, they're the most, and even the MGTOW to a degree, they get very averse with the family and fatherhood stuff. They get people, some of them, not all of them, they can get kind of black pilled on it and all this shit. Or they get called blue pill, you know, you want a family, blue pill, all this bullshit, it's fucked up. Don't know where I was going with that, but, oh, you were talking about 22 convention.
It was segueing towards 22 con.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you were talking to Piers Morgan, weren't you? Like, this has gotten, like, everybody's like, who is this guy and why the hell does he think he can make women great again? You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why do you have the audacity to say something we all want to say or need to hear, but why are you the one doing it?
Yeah. Well, I think number one, it's very natural for men to want to Now, it can be unhealthy. It can be codependent to want to help women. But at the same time, it doesn't have to be that way. And I think it's very natural to want to see your country do better, to see families do better, and to see women do better. All these feminist thoughts and losers and shit, as much as I'll make fun of them and rile them up, they're my countrywoman to the degree that they are actually American and stuff. And then even beyond that, you know, Canadian women, British women and all that, they've all been really damaged by feminism, whether or not they realize it. Some of them do, and they turn away from it. But it's really sad, and it sucks for them, even if we're going to get in combative fights on the internet and stuff. And it sucks. I know they're going to be miserable cat ladies and all that if they follow the feminist agenda and the feminist plan that's been delivered to them through propaganda and lies and bullshit. So I don't like that. That's not good. It's not good for them. It's not good for me. It's not good for my friends. It's not good for my country. It's not good for the future. I think for example, this century, that either feminism is going to die or America is going to die. The two are completely incompatible. And we see that now, I think, with cancel culture as an illustration. Cancel culture and thought culture and the total collapse of family and the rise, the super duper rise of single motherhood to just epidemic proportions, especially in the Black community, but ultimately all communities, all the races and stuff in America. These things are apocalyptic in terms of the future of the country and different demographics and consequences. Single mothers raise, I think it's a statistical fact that they raise the worst children. The children come out super fucked up very, very consistently. Prison, violence, drug abuse, learning disabilities, a lifetime of poverty. These are well documented by different speakers. Ann Coulter, Dr. Warren Farrell, all these guys. Or Ann Coulter's a woman, but yeah, this is all really dangerous. It's like fall of Rome type stuff. And so it's fun to make fun of sometimes and to be combative with it, to get, you know, press and all that, but it needs to be healed. I think men and women should get along and they should work together to a better future. And that means patriarchy. The future is patriarchy. That means masculinity is the leader and the driver. That means women embrace their role too. And that's, I think, what makes us as men and as women makes us very happy, is to dig into your biological nature and to tap into it and to be in alignment with it to the best that you can. As you work with these guys as fathers, that's what you're doing. You're teaching them to be more, you don't teach them to be less masculine, teach them to be more masculine. And that's, of course, called toxic masculinity by all these haters and losers and shit. These weirdos that want to reject nature and reject common sense and reject rationality and all these things. Yeah, so I want to see women do better. I know I'm a young bachelor, so it's kind of odd to see me doing that, make women great again. I get it. But I'm not dumb. Like, I can see into the future, and I have a good confidence in my vision that, you know, the way women are going today, it's super fucked up, all of it. There's a reason the manosphere exists. There's a reason men are going their own way. There's a reason the red pill exists. There's a reason the pickup artist got going. There's a reason that men's rights guys are pissed off at family court and divorce court and divorce rape and fake Me Too allegations and all this bullshit. Things are way out of control today between the genders. Like I said on the page for 21 Convention, gender relations are collapsing in America. They have collapsed essentially at this point. There's like a gender civil war going on in a sense. And it sucks. It's not good and it's not healthy. And the opposite of that is very healthy and very happiness inducing and prosperity inducing for a nation. And that's what I want to live in. I want to live in a free and prosperous nation where I can be a man and not be, assaulted for being a man, or told that I need to apologize for the sin of being born as a man. I want to see women who like being women. I don't want to force them to be women. I want to make sure that women, are encouraged to be women. I think that's a pretty good starting point as a default. And then they're not accosted and assaulted on the internet left and right by these feminist weirdos, these feminazis, for wanting to be women or wanting to pursue motherhood over family, or excuse me, not over family, but over career. And of course, feminism does the opposite. It tells women to pursue career before family, before child, bearing children, which is super stupid and biologically unsound. But they never tell them that. They just like, yeah, just for, you can have it all, baby, do whatever.
I think you're going to see a large spike in views on these videos, especially for 22Con. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say views on the videos, because I think there is a, they say the silent majority. I was literally banned from my town's Facebook for refusing to bend the knee to Black Lives Matter movement. I had plenty to say. So they, like, my town, like the place I live, they're like, you're out, you're not conforming. I was like, so be it, whatever. I can't tell you how many DMs I received though from people in the town saying, people I don't know. I support you. I'm glad you said something. I'm glad you stood up to that person. You're right. They're quiet though. They're afraid to do that publicly. And I think a lot of what you're doing, You know, they say, and this is why I fucking love what you're like, I'm all on board with fucking 21 fucking con, 21 Thanks, studios, all that shit, because yeah. everybody says, well, be the change you want to see. And then when yeah. somebody like what you're doing, you're being the change, you know, like, hey, yeah. I'm going to try this and let's see what happens. You know, at least I'm going to yeah. try and go out saying I gave everything I had, you know, yeah. all these people who are saying, well, you should do this are the ones who will mock you for doing this. That'll challenge yeah. you for doing it. It just doesn't, it's incongruent because what you're doing is you're not saying I'm going to be the change. You're becoming the change. You're taking yeah. the action, doing the thing. And I think yep. you're going to see a lot of people who maybe they're, I can't attend that, but goddamn, do I support it? You know, yep. do I want to share this? Do I believe in this? And there's going to be this move. I'm calling it now. And you heard it here first in the Family Alpha podcast. There's going to be a freaking wave. Where you're like, holy shit, like out of the yeah. woodworks, these women, you know, these men who want to support, you know, even the bachelors who are like, yeah, like this is what right looks like. You know, maybe they want a family, maybe they don't, but regardless, yeah. they know what right looks like. And that's what we're creating. And you're yeah. going to see this huge wave of this silent majority. And hopefully they become less silent. They're like, oh, yeah. what is it? Social proof. Once three people speak up and support you, maybe three more come on board and then six yeah. more come. And all of a sudden that silence becomes quite loud. And it's
that's a good point that things aren't always linear, and people expect, they have like very linear, like one dimension kind of thinking, I call it. And they don't think in exponential terms at any point. That I mean, look at Corona, right? Everything, you know, for years, everything's been with Trump's been getting better, I think, getting cool, economy's doing well, and then Corona, like, and then it's all this crazy shit now. But same thing, yeah, social proof and people speaking up and speaking their mind and what they believe. It's just human psychology is weird, man, especially at a very large, you know, when hundreds of millions of people are involved. And there's cancel culture and you could lose your job and are you anti-fragile and all these the internet's getting, technology's rapidly increasing and the internet and everything's changing. I mean, in our lifetime as millennials, look at how much has fucking changed. I mean, holy fuck. When I was a kid, man, you know, there was no, when I was young anyway, there was no real internet. I mean, it did exist, but in my home, we didn't get internet till like late 1998, 1999.
And it was loud-ass dial-up.
Yeah. Oh, fucking shit. But yeah, I mean, everything's just changed so much. The rate is increasing. That's another issue too. But yeah, I think you're right. There will be wave, not just a wave, but waves of support. As we saw that. That's what that media explosion was. You mentioned Piers Morgan. It wasn't just that. We hit the New York Times. We hit the New York Post. We hit all kinds of TV shows and news outlets and fat, you know, all this bullshit. But Piers Morgan was the biggest video one. But that was a wave that we broke into. The manosphere broke a new layer of mainstream consciousness and awareness. People I went to high school with that I haven't talked to in over 10 years are reaching out to me and stuff. I hit the news in my hometown, all over Florida, all over America. We're hitting radio stations in Australia and Britain and Europe and shit. I had French media reaching out to me. It went worldwide. It reached 150 million people. It's crazy. And I think that's going to happen again. That was like wave one. And there'll be more waves that reaches more people. I was hoping that the Democratic candidates would pick up on it and start bitching about it. Like, look what Trump did. And now they're still making women great. Oh, there's still time. I know. I hope they do. Because that'll be huge. That'll be such a win for the manosphere and for women and for men and for families. That, you know, because I think most people agree that we need to make women great again. And that's shocking. That's kind of shocking. But the average person is like, especially the average guy, when I wear this hat out, well, the other one anyway, these two. When I wear those to bars, I mean, it has certain reactions from chicks. I mean, some chicks fucking love it. Other chicks get pissed off by it. Some chicks are just kind of curious. They don't understand it, but they want to learn. But dudes almost universally love it. You know, whatever, the bars I go to wearing it. They're like, fuck yeah, make women great again. Because it's funny, but they know it. They're like, yeah, there's something really wrong. Like, things are going off the rails. Me too and this crazy feminist hysteria bullshit. That's just the most explicit and extreme version, I think. And the things that we see in the manister, we know about more about with the family court and these the shenanigans that go on there with feminism. But even the average dude is going on Tinder and Bumble and meeting, trying to get, you know, build a relationship or whatever, build a family. They feel that something's fucking wrong. They may not know all the terms of the manosphere and all the things we do that are more involved on a daily basis, especially as content creators, but they know something's fucking wrong. And when they see Me Too and this bullshit, you know, go after innocent men and stuff, that's when they're like, yeah, I knew there's something fucking wrong. And like, that's an example of it. Or when they go after political politicians being sexist and shit. It's all lies.
As you're saying that, I'm realizing this might be the first threat to the supply of future cat ladies. And they're seeing that. This is the first threat to, oh, well, maybe I'm going to start being judged for the path I took because all these girls aren't going to follow me. They're going to start, you know, waking up and like, oh, maybe I don't want to work a career until I'm 35 and try to have kids and I can't, you know, it's interesting that how you're threatening them by removing their supply of bodies and lives they're looking to destroy.
Yeah. That's what the manosphere is doing too. I used to be more critical of MGTOW, but I've eased up on that a lot in recent, about past a year, year and a half. And it's because they're, number one, they're getting men out of harm's way, which I think is important. And number two, they're decreasing the supply to feed the beast of feminism. I think it's wonderful. And that includes the cat ladies and all the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes who don't have a boyfriend. They have a partner. Like all this like stupid bullshit. But yeah, it's Make Women Great Again is the first serious threat on an organizational level to the feminist establishment that they've ever seen. Conservatism and these things were never really a threat to it. They're much more political focused and all that. And obviously in terms of the family and that element of culture, they've been losing that war for a long time. It's not good. Make Women Great Again is coming in at a different angle that's directly confronting feminism completely unapologetically. There's no compromise on the page for 22 convention. There's no compromise for Make Women Great Again. It's not Make Women Great Again and, oh, let me like, you know, ease up and be appease your sensibilities for some other, for being a slut or some shit. No, like being promiscuous as a woman, I think is bad. It's bad for most women, maybe universally. That's a valid debate to have. They don't want to hear that. Motherhood is fundamentally good for most women. They should do it first before career. No apology. If you want to have a bunch of babies, congratulations. You should go do that, and you should not be, you know, shamed that you have internalized patriarchy or internalized misogyny or some shit. If you support men in public, like Janice Jean Mengo and these other like Taylor Bros, these women that speak up for men, they should not be screamed at and yelled at and threatened with their death threats and violence. It should be very natural and very normal for women to want to support men. I think not to some degree. Like we're the protectors and the guardians of civilization. So especially in a relationship, you know, your woman is going to see you as a protector. So she shouldn't. And that's why you don't like crying for your woman and stuff like that. But just on a wide scale, you know, on a very maternal level, a woman should be very supportive of men and fathers and culture. It's good. It's good for them. It's good for their children. It's good for their families. It's good for their communities. They need to be active and vocal about it. And when they get screamed at, that's social pushback. That's very negative and needs to stop. And men are the ones who can put a big stop to that, as well as women speaking up and pushing back against it in a gigantic fuck you to feminism.
Well, I think that's, you know? It seems like it was, or I guess I'm assuming from the outside when you first announced this, that was one of the reasons of the male speakers is we are the shield and the spear. So when people flip out about what we're saying, we can take that. You know, like we're like, fine, that's what we're supposed to do. But eventually by us taking it, it allows the women behind us who are like, oh, we also agree to stand up to get their strength. And all of a sudden we can move. And then when they say it to the women, they're like, oh, we're fine too. You know, these men paved the way of like the heavy load. And now we can follow through with, you know, just supporting it and being there for them. And you see it on Twitter all the time. You know, these chicks get slammed for one woman recently. She said that there's no need for a wife to have male friendship. She's like, look, sex is always going to get in the way of that. And this is some wife saying this about, you know, whatever. And she got freaking slaughtered. You had like 6,600 comments or something like that. And people were like,
wow.
Oh, you know, misogyny and women can have male and all these things. And she's like, what's wrong with what I just said? There's nothing wrong with what I just said. I don't want to have male friends. I've got my husband. I've got, you know, my fellow moms. I'm okay with that. I don't want male friends. And the internet's like, how dare you cast judgment on us?
Oh, yeah. I agree with that too, 100%. But even if I didn't, another thing that's been lost in culture because I think of feminism in large part because it's weakened culture and emasculated it and made it effeminate garbage. It shouldn't be. Men should be masculine. It's made it, basically what I would want to say to that is it's okay to disagree. You don't have to, you know, you can have a difference of opinion than me. And feminism, I think, has largely shut the cancel culture and stuff and shut this off. You know, it's okay to be white. It's okay to disagree. You don't have to agree with everything I say, you know.
My podcast just got canceled. Thank you.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's okay to disagree. So, pull the plug.
So, you gotta flip you. Out. you need more tolerance. Yeah, it's like bake the cake, bigot.
That's it. There is no middle ground. You know,
those are hate facts. Those are hate facts, bigot.
People flip. Like when you come at them, I'm like, oh, I disagree with your point, but that's cool. Like they get mad at you for not arguing them.
Yes, because you're not bending the knee. It's because you're maintaining your independence. It does. Yeah. No, but you mentioned too, but I agree with you that we're paving the way. And my opinion since 2017, I said this on stage, my speech, The Future is Masculine, I was very explicit about it. And I mean well with it. I don't mean any offense to the women who do speak on behalf of men. But it's been apparent to me, and I think women have proved that they are not going to reign in the extreme, severe excesses of feminism that have become normal. Like, that's not just fringe feminism. The worst elements of it have become completely normal now for years and for decades. And it's hurting the country, and it's hurting men, and it's hurting women, and it's hurting fathers, and it's hurting families. And that needs to stop. And women have not done that. They have not made major moves to do that. There is no female equivalent to the manosphere. There's no femosphere, so to speak. There's just super toxic feminism. So Make Women Great Again and 22 Convention are like a bulldozer clearing the path for that. And I do want women to pick up the slack and to take the reins and do their own thing and to make, ultimately, women need to make women great again. Men are the fire starters of this, to get this torch and this path going to abolish feminism. It's an abolitionist movement at this point. That's what Piers Morgan called it. I was like, fuck yeah, I'm an abolitionist. Fuck yeah, very positive framing. But I really do want to abolish it. I think it's evil and super toxic and just completely retarded. It does nothing useful at this point at all. Any day of the week, any day of the year. So it needs to end. And women need to get involved, but we need to do the first with men. I think women look to men to be the leaders. So I think this is also it's a very natural progression. It's very right, and it's on the mark. And that's another reason it pissed off so many people, is how right we got it to have no female speakers on the announcement page and all that, to be 100% mansplaining, 100%, you know, mostly it's husbands and fathers, actually. There's only a few bachelors like myself, like AJ, I guess. But yeah, women love mansplaining. They want men to lead. It doesn't mean they can't lead other women and help other women, but it's like feminism is such a serious threat to the future of the United States and the West. The men have to get involved, put a stop to this. Women and feminists, basically, which are probably 80% women or 90% or something. There are the vicious male traitors, these loser snakes that get in there and then harass women and shit, you know, rape them or whatever they do. All the male feminists are basically rapists. But yeah, men have to clear the way. We got a mansplain to do that. And women look to us to lead, and that's exactly what we're doing. And that's, yeah, again, that's the coalition of all that, the combination of all that was so offensive. Because it's an effective threat to feminism. That's really, I think, what it wasn't a joke. The fact that they even didn't know if it was a joke, I mean, one of the top questions on Google that was searched for was like, is 22 Convention real? Is Make Women Great Again real? Because it is so, there's so much audacity to it. It's so audacious. They can't even believe it exists. That's what a lot of them would even say to millions of followers on Facebook and stuff. These feminists are bitching about it. They couldn't even believe. This is 2020. How is this even real? All this fucking bullshit.
You nailed that voice too. That's the perfect Karen voice.
Yeah, I know. But when you're doing things right, that's when you get the most pushback. When you're speaking the truth in a time when truth is treason, the louder the screams are, the better you're doing, the more effective you are, the more truthful you are, the more, the closer you are to 100% accuracy in what you're doing. I don't think we're perfect, but I think we've done really, really, really good with Make Women Great Again. And we haven't even done the conference yet. We've already had it's been a massive success just announcing it. I mean, holy fuck. We got Steve the Dean Williams is saying that we probably got, just on the Piers Morgan interview, that's a couple $100,000 in free advertising. That was live streamed on TV to like a million people they have every day. And then on top of that, another half a million now on YouTube. And then it reached all these news. And then there's news articles about it because of the drama with me and Piers Morgan fighting. I called him fake news. I called him judgy and shit. I was like, why you gotta be so judgy, man? Just trolling him. You can even hear the feminists laughing in the background. They're like, holy shit. Why you gotta be so judgy, man? You gotta be so judgy. There. Yep.
So you said something, and this is going to lead to wrapping this one up. And it's a question I've wanted to ask for a while, and I know the answer, but I kind of want to discuss it a little bit. And you were talking about how feminist is a threat to the United States. And The question I have is, what fuels you to keep going? With I mean, it's been over a decade and you're still going hard, and it seems like you're just gaining momentum. So what fuels Anthony Johnson to keep pushing to new heights and to greater depths of figuring this shit out?
It's my secret sauce, man. You got to believe in the dream, dog.
You got to get that like trademarked. The secret sauce.
That's what I tell people now. And they're like, how do you do this? I'm like, always believe in the dream, dog. Believe in the dream. I do want to mention, so you mentioned feminism as a threat to the future of the United States. I mean that. And I think I was the first person in history on Piers Morgan, on like an international, national TV, major TV. I said that feminism is a national security threat to the United States and the Western allies. And I mean that. I think it should actually be, if it hasn't already been, maybe it has, I don't know, I kind of doubt it. But it should be investigated like by Congress and stuff as a national security threat, as a threat to the family and to masculinity and femininity One example would be the threat to masculinity for law enforcement recruits and federal law enforcement. I've heard directly that there's serious problems with that, with like young FBI agents and stuff. They can't even pass, you know, basic tests and shit anymore. It's the same thing you hear about in the military. These fucking kids can't even pass boot camp because they're too fat and effeminate and whatever. And it's even, you see that in other nations too sometimes, but in America, it's what we're focused on, and the Western allies, same shit. All these fucking soy boy losers, these weirdos and shit, they're not fit to defend the nation. They're not fit to even get involved in law enforcement. That's a big fucking problem. And that's something they haven't, and I think feminism is the primary thrust of that. It's what's propagandized and fed so much bullshit lies to everybody. But as far as what drives me, just who I am, man, just deep, dig it into my soul, deeper and deeper. I'm a big fan of Ayn Rand, the philosopher. She's one of my top heroes and top, so a woman is actually my favorite philosopher, right? Who would have thought? Amazing philosopher and novelist, I think. One of the best that ever lived, at least as a philosopher. Novelist, I like her works a lot. People have more criticism to that. Well, they criticize her and everything. Who cares? I love her books too. Fuck it. But she had a saying, and that was dig into, find the hero in your own soul, basically. It was, I think, the exact quote, find the hero in your own soul. And I think I figured that out at a young age for whatever reason, maybe a super fucked up childhood. And as soon as I got into adulthood, I was like, hit the ground running. This haven't stopped. And I think a big part of that too, though, would be the people I surround myself with. I'm not super into like the five people you surround yourself with or who you are and all that shit. I'm skeptical. I mean, I look at it, I'm like, that's interesting. We'll see. But even bigger than that, like my tribe and my community, you guys, the speakers, especially the guys I surround myself with most, men in real life too, with Socrates and, you know, guys like that. See, a big part of it's, you know, who, what kind of company you keep. It's not just the five. I think it could be a lot of guys. It could be dozens in my case. At any given time of the year, I probably have, I'm in close contact with probably 20 to 30 speakers at a time. Personal relationships like you, and then in speaker chats we have where I can kind of talk to more of you guys at the same time. And that, to me, that's huge. And then there's other people too, not just speakers, but mentors I have, business partners, colleagues, kind of friends in high places, so to speak. You know, high level attendees that buy lifetime tickets and, you know, things like that. Guys who are really invested in what I'm doing that support me at a deep level. Not just like, can Anthony win as an entrepreneur and make money? Can he change the course of history and do something amazing, like kill feminism, abolish it? And that's, so I think about big picture stuff. That's, I guess, what keeps me going too, is I don't get lost. I do my best not to get lost in the heat of the moment. I'm not perfect with that. But, you know, fights or even wins and all these things, they can be distractions from long-term things. The media explosion was huge, but I don't let that dominate how I think every day. We had, you know, January and February this year. That was a big win, and now let's have an even bigger one. Let's get, you know, let's get Make Them Great Again in front of, you know, in the presidential debates. So let's see what happens. You know, that'll be huge. I mean, that'll expand the scope. What that'll do, I'll tell you right now, is if that happens, and I hope it does, and they'll blame Trump for it, and, you know, naturally they'll blame him for everything anyway. It's a very obvious blame. They would be, oh, look what you did. They're now they're misogyny, whatever, right? But he would just beat them over the head with it, which is good. He'd be like, yeah, make Nancy great again. She's a loser. You know, Nancy and Hillary's a loser. he'll have so much fun with it. But that'll be huge. That'll expand the reach of the manosphere massively. All boats will rise. Everybody will gain, you know, thousands of followers and fans. We'll reach a new penetration of mainstream culture. And it's needed. They need more masculinity. Women need more femininity. They need that guidance, and they don't have it. They don't have it from their communities. They don't have it from their parents. Their mothers sucked. Their mothers were feminists probably, and their dad was probably beta and, like, you know, all this weak effeminate stuff because he was propagandized and all this snowball of bullshit. So we're pushing back against all that. We're pushing for fatherhood, for masculinity, for femininity, even for motherhood now. My speech at 22 Guns and called Motherhood First. Like America first, motherhood first. Yep. Both come first. And so, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff there. But I like to think about big picture stuff, though. And those big goals give me a big energy, I guess would be the way to put it. You know, like you have George Washington in the background. We were talking about him before the show. I'm sure he tried not to get lost in these losses and battles he had, or even wins, because it can be distracting from the bigger picture and the bigger goal, which in his case was winning a war and creating a new nation. I want to win the war on feminism and abolish it and build a better future for America and the country I live in, specifically for masculinity and femininity and a common sense understanding of what it is to be a man and to be a woman and to get along and build families and build, you know, great things. It's like, and I've seen bits of this too. It's not just like a pipe dream, nor is it just the past where I think things were not perfect, but better, fundamentally better in some certain ways, right? So I'm not opposed to tradition. In many ways, I'm in favor of it. But in Poland, for example, I went there last year, a month in total last year for the convention, twice, two trips. And it was amazing to see men and women get along then, to see masculinity and femininity working together in a way that we don't see in America. And until you go see that firsthand and like live it for a few weeks at least, it's like you just don't get it. And once you see it, it's like, damn, I want that in America. We need a lot of that. A lot of that cooperation, that positivity. It ain't perfect, man. I mean, for example, maybe we need more of that, but in Poland, dudes get in fights all the time. Like, dude, we were walking around, we saw little kids getting in fights in parks and shit, like actual fist fights. And there's like the parents around and shit, and everyone's like, okay. And they're like 10 or whatever, but like fist fights and shit. Bars I went to, the first time I went out at a bar in Poland, there was a fucking huge fight. And this happens all the time. And then it just stops and it breaks up. But that's like masculinity, I think, alive and well. Nor is there a huge litigation culture where people get sued all the time. It's more like, let's keep things, whatever, man. It was a fight, lasted 30 seconds and then shit calmed down. Bouncers got involved, took people out, and everybody went home. Nobody died. I don't know where I'm going with this tangent, but
I'll take it, man.
Big picture stuff.
Fist fights, happy women, happy men.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yep.
So this has been an awesome discussion. I've got links to your social media. I've got links to 21Con if people are looking to get tickets and whatnot. Final words for those either on the fence about diving onto the convention itself, diving into 21U, or looking to reach out and just speak with you about what you've got going on.
Yeah. So Ultimate Manosphere event history is coming up, 21 Summit. It is the most radical, the most powerful, the most audacious event we've ever done in the history of the community. Nothing like this has ever been tried, never mind in such a crazy ass year like 2020. So our events have always been the biggest and best, it's pretty much since day one at this point, certainly the longest running at this point. But now on top of that, we're combining three of them, like we mentioned, one for men, one for fathers, one for women, into one event. And that's huge. That's a game changer. We have, major press wanting to attend. Most of them, I'm telling them to fuck off, eat shit. But all kinds of eyeballs are on it, basically. We got lots of women coming, lots of fathers, lots of men, lots of amazing speakers. And like you were talking about, the dinners, and that's the main point of really attending. When you attend, you're actually funding something much bigger than yourself and your own success and your own future as a man, or even as a woman for the two women watching this or something. You're funding the creation of that content, the video that can reach out and that will reach millions of people, thousands and millions. That's important. That has long-term effects on the culture you live in. It changes relationships, it changes behavior, it changes individuals. It changes the future of your whole life and the life of a lot of men and women like you. But beyond that, more in the moment, it's an opportunity to meet people face-to-face, that meet space. And there's so much there, man. I mean, Ellie Hulse, for example, is a guy that has massive following, millions of guys. Your opportunity to meet him and get advice from him on a one-to-one basis is super limited, hard to come by. I don't think he does it, like any kind of one-to-one coaching. He just doesn't do it. He has too many fans and shit, right? It would be ridiculous pricing. So other than his own events, which he does a couple per year, he does like the strength camp, grounding camp. But he's closing that now. He's doing like one more and then that's it. So your ability to meet these speakers like Elliot Hollis and talk to them one-on-one, or yourself or Jesse Lee Peterson or Coach Greg Adams or AMS and all these guys, Richard Grannon, that's super, super rare for any one of them. For them, your ability to then have dinner with these guys and cigars and drinks and talk in the hallways and shit, I mean, that's huge. That's worth like 10 times what the ticket costs or even more. I mean, I had one guy tell me the ticket, had he attended sooner, he would have saved, he lost like $1 million in his divorce. And he was like, yeah, like a ticket could basically save the guy like $1 million by not getting into a fucking toxic relationship or a toxic marriage, or even saving one and making it healthier and better if he's already in one, and then avoiding some sort of financial or relationship catastrophe. So the value is huge. I mean, it could be just the ability to talk to speakers one-on-one. That's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Some of these guys die. I mean, look at Stefan Arnio. He's dead. 21Con, I think, was his last live event in the world. You have an opportunity to meet that guy and talk to that guy. Now he's dead. You'll never have the chance again as long as you live. That's it. 21Con, the guys who met him there were like the last fans of his, or kind of new fans anyway, if they didn't know him, to ever meet him and talk to him and have dinner and all this stuff. That's it. Andrew the Private Man was another one from 2017, or he spoke in 2016, and he died in 2017. So it's hard to see that in the videos. That's why I bring this up. You mention it, but unless you see it, it's hard to understand it, but it's huge. There's a reason that speakers like you keep talking about that. Like, that's your favorite part of the event, is meeting these guys. That's where the change happens, man. It's where there's face-to-face contact, there's interaction, there's no censorship, there's no public internet watching a speech where someone asks a question and then, you know, 400,000 people listen to it. They can ask you whatever. They can drop names and, you know, personal examples and circumstances that they have that they want to navigate that aren't appropriate for YouTube. It just, you just can't talk into a fucking microphone and announce this to the world for whatever reason. Who knows, right? Legal or otherwise. Cancel culture and shit. So it's massive, man. And yeah, there's no censorship. It's very warm. It's a very positive experience. It's like a vacation from feminism. Feminism's everywhere. You know, it's like a virus. It's the ultimate pandemic. And 21Con, it's feminism-free, like gluten-free. It's like feminism-free experience. And it's pretty amazing. It's the best event in the world of its kind. There are other events for men that are awesome. Like you have one for FOE meetups, Ellie Hulse's events. There's many events for men. But in terms of a convention that's comprehensive and is bringing together world leaders in the manosphere is essentially what you guys are in your different spaces and focuses. That's it. 21Con is by far the biggest and best along this running. And it's got me at the helm. And I'm fight or die, live free or die, balls deep in that shit. And I love it, man. I love bringing it together for everybody. So come on out to it. Have a good time. 21U is there. Go to 21University.com. It's the number one way to support 21 Studios and yourself. Get the best video content. We don't do like Patreon really or anything like that. We just do the, you know, 21 University. It's $20 a month to stay. And the first month is free. And there should be a link, you know, beneath this video for that to get that. And much appreciated if you do. That's how we keep the company running, operational, profitable, and all that stuff. So we can keep going out, combating feminism, making fun of feminism, educating men, educating women, educating feminists, right? You know, digitally smacking them in the face a little bit with some facts. It's a good time. It's good stuff. And it's very rare that you see so much of this come together too like that. You know, like you mentioned, we got, you know, Making Women Great Again. We got the fatherhood element going, patriarchy. We got for men, masculinity. And there isn't really anywhere else in the world that's going on like that. The manosphere largely, you know, as a community has that. And then we bring it together into the real world. We bring your heroes to life. You know, we bring Hunter Drew out of the screen on your phone or your laptop to the real world in your face. And then you need to tell these guys something. You fucking tell them, you know, that you don't hold back. And that could be life-changing, man. Definitely, 100%. I know that meeting you guys has changed my life. That's one of the reasons I keep doing it. The events are my favorite part of the year. They're super difficult and challenging, and it brings out the best in me. But then you guys bring out the best in me too. You guys will check me on this and that, and, you know, support me in these different ways. And it's amazing, man. Face-to-face contact, you know, is what so we evolved as human beings to need and to nurture from and to grow from. And this event is the best of that of its kind. End rant.
No, it's a solid one. Stay on the soapbox. Now, I guess the closing comment would have to be, you know, I see a lot of men, you know, when they go there, and truly every speaker makes the attendees 100% of the focus. You know, myself, I'll stay. If you want to talk until 3 a.m. by the pool, we've done it. Like we've seen the sunrise come up. That's the dedication, not just myself, but I see other speakers with their group, you know, sitting around hanging out. And a lot of family men, they said it was the first time they took a vacation, you know, without the wife and kids. First time they invested in themselves. And if you're going to be limited on the time you can get away from the family, like if you truly have to choose, like, hey, I've got one weekend I can leave, this is the one. This will give you the absolute return of the time and money invested. You meet the people that are the experts in their areas, and you go home fully fucking invigorated and charged up and ready to go, and you're a better husband, you're a better father, all because you've decided to become a better man. You know, it's one of those things where I know I'm 100% biased saying it as a speaker in the convention. I get that. Yep. I get people are going to think that, they're going to say that. But the truth of the reality is, look at the men. You know, just look at the lives that have been impacted, and they'll tell you, like, yeah, this changed my life for the better forever.
Well, here's what's amazing, just to back this up. There is a bias there for sure. I'm biased too about my own event. I love it. I built it. I'm the creator. Duh, I think it's amazing. I mean, if I didn't think it was amazing, why the fuck would I keep doing it, right? And of course, I've done it for so long that I should be good at it at this point. I've done it for 14 years. Anybody who's done a craft for 14 years, whether it's being a carpenter or building events or whatever, you should be good at it, right? But what's amazing is that you speakers, what you're talking about, helping the guys out, talking to them, so you wouldn't just spend a half hour with the guy. You'll spend hours with the guy talking to him through difficult, you know, challenges he has in his marriage or his family or whatever he's doing in a business or something. And that's huge for them. But I don't even ask you guys, I don't pay you guys to do that. I don't pay you to sit at the pool at 4 a.m. and talk to these dudes, you or Ivan or Elliot or Socrates or any of these dudes. You just do that. I don't even ask you to do that. You just do it. That's the kind of, and dude, like these speakers don't have to do that. Elliot Hulse and, you know, Stefan Molyneux and all these guys, these are busy men with major, you know, the businesses and, you know, followings and shit. They don't have to do that. You just do it. That's how you know it's so genuine and so positive and so impactful, is that you're motivated to do it as a speaker, to invest and spend your own time and attention with these guys. And no one's forcing you to do it. You're not being paid to do it. Maybe you're paid to be there if you sell a ticket or something. Like, there's a commission if you sell a ticket usually. But that's it. I mean, you're just coming out to the event to speak and then spending 4 days talking to attendees, one after another, after another, after another for free. You're doing that, I think, out of your own generosity and your own goodwill. And because you benefit from it too. I think that's one of the reasons you guys do it, is you can see what men need to hear, what men are asking, what they want to know, what's going on in the world. So it helps you navigate as a speaker, but it's beautiful to see, man. It's a very positive thing. It's like male spaces have died today. The barbershops and cigar lounges, the bowling alleys, these things have all faded away. Cigar lounges still a little bit, but other than that, you know, everything's falling apart with that. But you see, I think, a huge reinvigoration of that, a renaissance of it, the beginning at 21Con as the real world event doing it. And then there's similarities with that too, with FOE and Liminal Order, with Jack Murphy's thing, the online versions of it, and the meetups that come from that. But 21Con is a very huge, I see it as like a constitutional convention almost, you know, it's a constitution for men and for masculinity. You have these leaders coming together and talking to delegates and, you know, these guys that they're in the thick of it. They represent like the average man trying to get better in the world as a man and as a father and, you know, do what they're going to do. So yeah, it's just amazing to see it, the positivity and generosity with that. And it just happens organically. It's the hallway conversation, Socrates calls them, that are the best part of the event. Not the speeches that are get all the fame and the glory, the glamour on YouTube, which is cool. But it's like, it's very personal. It's very in your face. And it's all, it just happens organically. Yeah, best part of it. Best component.
Now, my daughter says hi.
Nice.
Like right at the end of it. She's like, hey.
Coda, right? Or that's your son, or
that's my son. Yeah, her name's okay.
Ava and Coda. Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to thank you for your time, man. I mean, you're absolutely correct on all this, and I'm glad to see you just pushing forward even harder during Corona and everything that's going on.
Thanks.
And yeah. Honestly, I mean, it fuels me up. It gets me motivated. I'm looking forward to seeing you this fall. And again, for those who want to join us, or for those who want to see previous content and then decide, 21U, the link is also below, so you can get the link for the ticket, link below. Or if you want to reach out to Anthony himself, I've got a link to his Twitter. So sweet. With all that, Anthony, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. The Family Alpha is back in full swing.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Thanks, man. I appreciate being bringing me on, and very much appreciate the opportunity. Big time.
No, absolutely. For everybody who tuned in, thanks for listening. This has been another episode of Family Alpha Podcast.
Thanks for listening. You can join our private men's only community at thefraternityofexcellence.com. And don't forget to find Zach on Twitter and Instagram with the handle @ZachSmall_.